It's a sad day for me. This is our last week in Ephesians. And for you, you're probably all rejoicing, finally, you know. 32 months later, he's finally found his way through one short little book, a letter that was probably written in less time than it took me to preach it, but was read in, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. It would have been all it would take. And then Tychicus could have given all the encouragement, everything else. It probably all happened in a week. Of course, they didn't have a clock that would keep them to an hour. I know Paul used to preach long enough that people would fall asleep and fall out of windows and things. So we could try that. Want to kind of prolong this, you know, there's 129 sermons online at Skycomish Community Church just from the book of Ephesians. And it's been a pleasure spending this much time in such a rich letter. As you think about letters that you've written, you usually have different parts to them, right? You've got the greeting, you know, dear so-and-so, and then you get the body, and then you get the closing and the signature and all that. The signature in Paul's letters, his tradition was to put that at the beginning, who it was from, and we usually know that from the return address before we even open the envelope. But he started it out with, he's writing to followers of Jesus, followers of the way that are in Christ, and throughout the whole book he's talking about people being in Christ. They're followers of the one and true God. And he gets to the end after he's given lots and lots of interesting advice and words that we could certainly live by, words that we know keep constantly leading us back to Jesus again and again and again, and knowing that we can't live without Jesus, but we can do all things with him. And we get to this closing. These last two verses are very rich as well. I could have definitely spent a few more weeks on this, but I'm going to hold it to just today. Peace, love, faith, and grace all comes in Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. Page 1790 in your pew Bibles. Peace, love, faith, and grace. It's kind of, you know, you have these different virtues, Christian virtues, that a lot of times when people go to church, they're told they're supposed to do things. And then part of it is you have to change your character. You have to be this, you have to be that, and all the stuff that we should be and should do. And it starts feeling like law again. And I think it's real important as Paul closes this letter out, he wants them to know that it's really not law. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his love, who he is, the faith that he gives us, the grace that he provides for us, and that we should all be at peace. In fact, traditionally, peace is just like it was a greeting, a hello or a goodbye, shalom. And when you think about that, he's just wishing them peace. He's wishing them shalom at the end of this letter. He's told them about there's going to be battles. You're going to go into warfare. You need to have proper armor on. That's for peace. It's not so that you feel stressed or worried or anxious and feel like you have to do something in your own strength. It's like, no, God's given you everything you need, and you can have peace. So today's text, peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows where all of his peace, his love, his faith is coming from. It's all from Jesus, from the Father. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. It's a very appropriate way to close a letter. I think a lot of times when we've written a letter to somebody, we might sign it, you know, close it sincerely. It's like, okay, really, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. Sincerely, you know, we try to convince them that what we wrote was meaningful and real, and or we might say in Christ or some other type of closing, but we come up with a way to close the letter out, and oftentimes, you know, love so-and-so. Well, here Paul is laid his heart out for a number of churches. This is a circular letter. It's going to a number of different churches, and he closes it with, "Goodbye. Have peace." Some of the other verses in Scripture that kind of are closes, and I'm not going to do a lot of them, but just a couple things here. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." How can you live in peace? Because we serve the God of peace. We serve the God of love and peace, and He can be with us. The Corinthians especially needed to find ways to restore their relationships. Some of the problems going on in the Corinthian church were they were having little cliques and groups that were thinking some of them were better than others, and they were leaving individuals out. And I'm so glad I don't see that here in Skykomish. At this little congregation, if somebody walks through the door, it doesn't matter how big their house is or you know, how many degrees they have after their name, everybody seems to be accepted, even the rich people. You know, so sometimes it's easy to pick and choose who our friends are going to be, and that's appropriate to a degree, but with Christ we love everyone. And everyone needs to be encouraged to love one another, be of one mind, live in peace. You ever been in a situation where you're with people that you don't feel at peace? Doesn't even matter if they say anything or do anything. It's just there's some rift there. There's something that's separating you, and you don't feel at peace. And that's a hard situation to be in. If we're part of the body of Christ, and we're all together in Christ, if everyone's in Christ, we should be at peace. We should be living in peace, because the God of peace dwells among us, dwells in us. The God of peace has chosen us. The God of peace is going to take care of everything. We don't have to have anxiety or concerns or worries about how we're going to move forward in life, because the God of peace is going to go before us. The God of love and peace. It's interesting that those things are continually put together in Scripture, love and peace. Well, God is love, but God is also the God of peace. He's identified that way. 2 Thessalonians, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." That's how you're going to have peace, is if the Lord is with you. If the Lord is with each of us, we will have peace. Peace within, peace with one another, peace with God. Romans 15, "The God of peace be with you all." Amen. Let it be so. So today's text, we look at peace to the brothers and sisters, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with undying love. Love is another part of this. It's, you know, Paul's leaving, closing argument is you just have peace, be at peace, but also love that's coming from faith. And in 1 Corinthians, there's this section that kind of describes love. Love is patient. So if we as a body are going to have love with one another, love and faith, we're going to be patient with one another. Now, that implies that there's going to be a reason that we have to have patience. Sometimes we're going to get on each other's nerves. Patience is kind of important. So love is patient. Another thing, love is kind. I like that when people came in today, they're given little elbow greetings or whatever else. They're demonstrating kindness. They've missed each other. You know, some of you haven't seen each other for a day. Some of you it's been a week. Some of you it's been a year. And it's like, okay, kindness just it shows in your attitudes towards each other. You're happy to see one another. It does not envy. Those that didn't get to be here every week for the last year, they're not envious of those of you that did come. In fact, they're feeling safe and good. And you know, God's timing, God puts all things right in His time. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I love that when God's described in the Old Testament again and again, the description includes this phrase, he's slow to anger. We're not angered easily. That doesn't mean you'll never get angry. It's a fact. I mean, most of us are going to find a time in our life where we're angry. Scripture tells us to be angry and don't sin. Don't sin in your anger. There's a time where anger maybe is appropriate, but how do you handle that? How do you deal with it? You don't hold on to it. You don't let it get root and become bitterness. And all of this description of love, if you think about it, it's a description of God. God is love, right? Well, love is patient. Is God patient? Way more than we deserve. Love is kind. Is God kind? God wouldn't have to be envious of any of us. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. But it doesn't boast. It's not proud. God does not try to lift himself up higher than he ought to. In fact, we need to hallow his name and lift him up even more. Does not dishonor others. It's interesting that shows up in the definition of love, because how often are religious people known for dishonoring others? How often are religious people, and we need to be careful, if we're just going to be religious and not followers of Jesus, because it would be easy to start thinking less of others. Start thinking more of ourselves. Well, no, love, it's not haughty, it's not boastful, it's not proud, it's humble. And so we wouldn't want to dishonor others. We wouldn't want to put others down. And not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. That's a tough one, because how many of us hold those little lists in our head of what our spouse has done, and it's not always at the front of the mind, but if you end up in an argument of some sort or a discussion, sometimes those old faults come out. And it's like, no, that's not love. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Again, as I was a school teacher, how often would something be going on bad in the classroom? Where's all the attention from every kid in that room going to go to? Oh, look at that. We don't delight in evil. When you're driving down the freeway and you see something, an accident, that they've even got a name for that. What is it? Where everybody stops to look. Looky-loos, rubberneckers. There's all kinds of terms and it creates congestion and slows down life for everyone around. And it's all because we want to see what's this train wreck? What's holding everything up? And we become more of a burden to those around us than the actual accident was. And so if you're focusing on the negative, that's not loving. You try to find the positive. Water the things and nurture the things that you would like to see grow. Right, Larry? You find a way to get that good grass to keep on growing more and more. And then hopefully it spreads and becomes the norm around you. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Of course, the first part of verse 8 says, love never fails. If you want to have success in life, think about the concept of love never failing. Well, then we need to have love. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells the church in Colossae, over all these virtues. Now, he's just mentioned a lot of virtues in the previous verses. He's mentioned compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forbearance, and forgiveness. And he spends quite a bit of time on forgiveness. Well, just like when we have the Lord's Prayer, how often do we look into Scripture and realize that it's like, okay, we were forgiven. And with that comes the ability to forgive others. This forgiveness thing is huge. But above and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You can see how love would help with compassion, right? If you want to be compassionate and you're not loving, that doesn't even make sense. Kindness, humility, gentleness, all of these things, forbearance and forgiveness, putting up with each other is an act of love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. It's interesting that in Colossians, the love part comes first and then he brings in peace. And in Ephesians, he starts with peace and then goes to love. It's love is going to encompass and cover all things. And yet peace comes from love. If we're not at peace, maybe we're not being loving enough. There was a famous psychiatrist that was asked one time what you should do if you're starting to feel a little bit down and maybe even feeling like you can't go on in life and you're at your end. What do you do? And the person asking the question assumed that he would say you would get an appointment with a psychiatrist and go talk to him. But that's not his answer. He said you lock the door, go outside first, then lock the door, and go across the railroad tracks and help somebody. If you want to not feel sad and terrible about yourself, get your mind off yourself. Go help someone else. I've observed as Ashley and family members have tried to deal with the loss of Wade, when they're doing their best, it's because they're doing things with and for others. They're reaching out. That's the positive time. If we just become self-centered and forget that we're here for a purpose, God wants us to share His love and His peace with those around us. Love and peace, they kind of go together, all of these things. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You start seeing in throughout Ephesians, throughout all the scripture really, love, peace, grace, faith, all of those virtues, they start being woven together. It's because of grace that we can have faith. God gives us the faith. God is love. God brings us peace. He's the God of love and peace. It's the in Christ part. If we miss that, if we forget that important phrase, in Jesus, in Christ, we're going to miss out on all of the blessings of theological or Christian virtues. We can't have godly virtues without God. And the world does a good job of trying to imitate, and sometimes they're better at it than we as followers of Jesus in imitating what love looks like. But then there's other times where it just falls apart because there's no foundation. So again, today's text. Peace to the brothers and sisters. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord with undying love. Do you love Jesus with undying love? Lord, we close this little letter, this epistle, understanding that it's still there for us, that we can turn back to it again and again and recognize the wisdom that's found within Ephesians. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this will have been time well spent and that it can be life-changing and bring us closer and closer to You throughout eternity. Thank You, Jesus, that we can pray in Your holy name. Amen.